This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
We're joined today by the co-founders of Up and Up, a unique home rental platform that allows people to both rent and own the home they live in.
Hey Zane, how are you?
Hi, good, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Thanks for jumping on. So it's gonna be yourself and who, Ben?
Ben is joining awesome. As well, yeah.
Awesome, great.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're based in SF?
Yeah, I am based in SF. It's smoky today. Not as bad as it has been the last week, though.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good. And looks like you've got some good real estate inside anyway.
Yeah, that's what it's about, right? I actually am in the same building that my company rented once to have to have some office space. So when I saw this place was available, I was like, this is good luck.
That's funny. What part of the city?
This is in Fidei, right by all the big skyscrapers. So it's been in Folsom if you know the neighborhood. All right, great. Well, why don't we start with how did you guys actually stumble on this idea for a company?
Yeah, I could take this one. So it's funny. So I actually met Michael, who's the other co-founder. He wasn't able to make it today, back in 2017. At the time, I was actually in the process of leaving the startup I was working at, Zendo, online to offline mobile point of sale company. And I met Michael at a meetup event, actually, to do with just like entrepreneurship in general, which is really funny because nobody ever meets anyone useful at meetup events. sorry for the background noise. And I had a budding interest in real estate at the time. I was actually running a side hustle where I was running a pretty successful short-term rental operation across a couple of different cities in New York. And it was doing very well, and I was generating quite a lot of cash flow, and I was looking to sort of invest some of that money into actually acquiring real estate versus, just doing like rental arbitrage or whatever. And so I started encountering some of the problems to do with homeownership, obvious ones like getting a down payment and getting approved for a mortgage, applying for a mortgage. These are huge problems that there are tons of startups out there trying to solve, like credit, stuff like that. I sort of started having some understanding of some of the issues here, and I met Michael, and he had recently, done a very interesting deal with his friend Anthony. So at the time, Michael had just left Morgan Stanley. He spent 10 years there as a trader. He actually ran the U.S. oil desk. Him and his friends had, quite a bit of money saved up. Anthony was trying to purchase a house in New York. He was also an investment banker, but obviously buying a house in New York is very expensive. And the down payment was a bit of a hurdle. And so they came up with this interesting structure between three friends. So it was Michael, Anthony, and a third friend, where they effectively partnered together to buy a house or to buy a condo as tenants in common. So Anthony basically paid a third of the down payment. The other two friends paid the other two thirds of the down payment. And they sort of split all the home expenses equally. So Anthony paid a third of the down payment, he paid a third of the mortgage, a third of the taxes. And because he was one living in the house, they decided that it made sense for him to pay two thirds of the rent. So this kind of created this very interesting structure, this sliding scale between renting and owning, where like you don't 100% own the home, you don't 100% rent the home. You're just basically putting in what you can afford. And over time, you're incrementally purchasing the other partner's stakes so that eventually you would own 100% of the house, if that makes sense. And so Michael was trying to ideate different products around this. And the problem, I guess, if you would articulate, the problem that we were trying to solve here was, the inaccessibility of home ownership for a lot of people, right? Like, how do you get people to, how do you help people come up with a down payment? Because there's a lot of like strict rules and borrowing the down payment money, right? Like banks don't want people to be over leveraged. And so we came up with a few iterations. We've gone through a number of pivots up into our product today. Version one of our product, sorry, this is a very long spiel, but so feel free to cut me off whenever. version one of the product was actually kind of this legal product where we didn't provide any financing, but we wanted to create this structure to enable friends or parents, more specifically parents and their children to purchase a home together, right?
So like very often you would have this structure. This is something that happens every day. People think there's only two ways to really get into home ownership. And if you poll most people, this probably is 99% of the market. You either buy a home or, you know, you'll rent the home. And there's only one way to get on the property ladder. Often there does arise a situation where you've got friends that want to pull together and want to live in a place, and you've got family. So this is a behavior that happens all the time. You guys went through the same issue. And so what happened then? So family members got together and decided, you know, or friends got together, decided that this is the house we want to stay in. So you decide to just split the mortgage, split everything like that. And then how does that turn into a business?
So it's a little different between friends and I guess between parents and children because of the dynamic. We started with the parents and children relationship first. So often in a parent-child home transaction, the parent would provide the down payment and then make the kid basically pay the mortgage. But like there often wasn't like a very defined legal structure for doing this. It was kind of an informal arrangement. It's like, hey, son, I trust you to like pay me back eventually. I trust you to make the mortgage payments. And like, you know, if you screw up, it's on you. You know, like you're the one going to foreclosure, you know, whatnot. Obviously, they don't want that. But like that's, you know, generally what the arrangement was. And so like what we tried to do initially was just to create this like legal structure, basically create like this tenants in common agreement where they were purchased together and this mechanism for which they would eventually buy back their house from their parents. Very similar to the original Michael Anthony deal that we talked about. It had a little bit of traction. Interestingly enough, within the Asian community, it was quite popular because it's a very common arrangement. But the problem we found was expanding outside of the friend and family network. Like it kind of made sense to people that we knew, but to people that we didn't know, it had less traction, I think. Because they didn't really see the need for this solution. They thought like, why do I want to pay a company to like, you know, effectively give me a contract when I can just freaking do this myself? And so then the second iteration of this product we pivoted to was kind of like a down payment assistance program. So the key difference was we would actually provide the financing to help random people purchase a house. So the pitch was like, hey, if you don't have a down payment, you know, go to HomeVest. They will actually provide the down payment money with you. They'll partner with you to co-invest in this property alongside with you. And over time you can buy it. And you'll both go into mortgage, you both go into deed, and over time you can purchase the home back from HomeVest generally through a refi, right? Like you refi, get money out, and then you use that refi money to buy out HomeVest stake. And then the problem we encountered there was that a lot of people didn't really understand the difference between equity and debt. So they kept trying to say like, oh, okay, so you guys are gonna lend me the down payment money, like what's the interest rate that I'm gonna pay? And then we kind of have to explain that, you know, this isn't like you're getting a second mortgage from us, right? Like we're providing the equity stack, and you're separately getting the debt from a bank. And so like, it's a problem that we kind of ran into. People didn't like this idea that, you know, they were partnering with a random company to buy a home. You know, buying a home is like a very emotional investment. Like you generally want to own it yourself. You don't want like someone else to own it. And like, you know, their goal is to kind of like, you know, own the whole home as quickly as possible. And they just didn't quite get this concept. And amongst like less sophisticated, you know, consumers, maybe it would work if we just did this in like New York or San Francisco, but like, you know, in the markets that we're operating, which is like more tier 2, tier 3 cities, like it was a concept that was quite difficult to grasp. And then finally we landed on this iteration of that product, you know, it's kind of a twist. We don't really like to associate rent to own, but it's kind of similar. In the sense that, you know, we tell people that, look, you find the home that you like, we'll actually buy the house for you. Only our company appears in deed. We'll rent it to you, but we'll give you an option to purchase the home. And effectively, you'll have a stake in the home, a contract that says this is what your ownership is, and this is how it'll increase over time, and this is the mechanism for which you can buy us out and exercise your option to purchase. So that's the iteration we kind of landed on today, which is really resonated in the markets that we're in.
Yeah, you know, what's fascinating is that this is a way for people to get on the property ladder, and it can make a big difference. You can be stuck in a perpetual arrangement where you're simply renting. This happened to my parents, actually, when they came as immigrants to the UK. There's a similar scheme there, where you will take debt on half the property and then you will pay rent to another company that owns the other half of the business, and you can buy them out at any point. And had it not been for that opportunity, they would have just been renters for forever, and you know, they got to enjoy the upside and appreciation. And you know, they've invested in the home itself. They've improved the home, they've taken care of it. So that's a phenomena that I think, you know, hasn't been scaled yet, and you guys are trying to scale this. And the business really started with a pretty generic problem. How do I buy a home? Let me pull together. Usually people pull together because they want to live together, or you'll have family or friends supporting you. And so you've come in and you've tried to scale that out. So it doesn't have to be friends or family. It will be an independent company. So how is the business doing today? You've raised, what, almost $10 million?
Yes, we've raised $10 million. Is that right, Spencer? I think we did a small bridge round or something recently, but yeah, close to $10
million. Exactly. So that's $10 million at our operating business to fund our future growth. But then we actually, I think, you know, Ben spoke about the consumer side of the business, and that, you know, for kind of all the obvious reasons, the benefits of homeownership sooner than they otherwise would have on their own. And that's what we're enabling. And so I think, and people hate, you know, throwing away money in their rent. So I think the consumer side of it is, once you hear how we structure it, pretty obviously better than everyone's alternative options. What's important for us is that it's actually also better for the landlord. And that's really the neat part of this, and that, you know, we as a business don't look at ourselves as, you know, subsidizing a consumer in a way or anything like that. We're in the business of actually improving the transaction between the landlord and a tenant. And by having a tenant who is invested into their rental as an equity owner alongside the landlord or the owner, they actually become a better tenant. They're more likely to stay longer. They treat the place better. And you know, you reduce vacancy and maintenance costs over time, and then you have obviously a secured tenant and investor who buys you out over time. So it's not just a good deal for a consumer as a consumer product, it's actually something that's attractive to an investor or owner. So it's important for us to make sure that those economics and that transaction works for both sides. And so that's why we actually set this up as a, we call it a property company, or a fund out of which we invest into the real estate directly. And so that is actually invested into by basically third party real estate investors, traditional real estate investors who want to own rental properties. And that's actually how we own properties. We are, you know, ourselves an asset, or a you know, a company that is a platform and a property manager, if you will. And we actually, you know, acquire the consumers, et cetera. But important for us is actually that we pair our property company with our customers.
So let's dive into that a bit. PropTech is very unique because it's only in this environment or industry where you've actually got to own the asset itself to really scale it, in some models at least. When did you realize that it's not enough to have a technology platform? We actually now need to go own the underlying real estate.
So I think that in theory, we don't need to own the real estate. In theory, we could, you know, be a service or a platform or a marketplace, if you will, matching up a, you know, landlord or owner with a customer. But thinking about how to operate this business well and efficiently and scale in a very smart way, it was a decision made early on to actually do something akin to vertical integration, whereby we actually own the real estate ourselves. So we not only put together the initial transaction, but we do the property management over time and the customer and tenant management over time. And so by actually owning more of the transaction, we have more control every step of the way. We have more information on what customers want. We have more information on the customer experience. And we, of course, are responsible for the property management and ownership itself. So that's actually the decision to own the real estate rather than having it be a, you know, kind of third party who would own it, and we're just a marketplace.
So let's talk about the point at which you realized, I need to do this. I get a lot of startups pitching me, for example, who want to be vertically integrated from day one. They want to build the core platform alongside having a private equity style fund to go out and acquire property. What came first for you guys? It sounds like first it was perfecting the model, building a contract, building some technology around that. What came first here? Because this is a typical chicken and the egg situations, startups in prop tech phase.
I think the first thing that we needed to solve was to prove that there was actually a need for down payment help, and that the consumers that needed down payment help were also credit worthy. I think there's often this misconception that the only people that need down payment help are people that have like terrible credit. You know, so we first needed to disprove that, because obviously, you know, we don't want to get into the subprime mortgage business. You know, it's a good thing we didn't right now, especially during COVID. but that was the first step, I think. And then we proved that out. And then we realized that it's interesting you bring the marketplace, because I think that's kind of the holy grail. Like, we can get to a point where we don't even have, like, right now we're a very asset heavy business, right? Where you have to like raise tons of capital to go buy tons of homes. I think that we could eventually get to a place where we don't need to raise any capital at all, and just like create this platform for any landlord to fractionally sell down their homes to tenants. That could be really interesting. But, like, it's a typical chicken and egg marketplace model. You know, where like, do you solve the supply side first? Do you solve the demand side first? And I think this decision to actually go and buy the real estate, is, as Spencer was talking about, you know, basically an egg, because it's anyone can go buy a home, right? Like, if you could easily provide the supply side as long as you have the capital. So I think like proving that out first, you know, was important. Does that answer your question?
It does. Although the chicken and the egg analogy, I realize, is not the most appropriate one, because you're literally trying to build the farm or own the farm at the same time that both the chicken and the egg, you know, transact on. This is a challenge I figured out too. When I started my company, we were showing ads on mobile phones. So we had a bunch of mobile phone developers we needed to convince to show ads, and we needed to go to advertisers and convince them to take their ads and put it on mobile phones. Initially, we had to go to the mobile developers themselves and pretty much give them money to integrate our technology, right? It wasn't scalable. It wasn't a solution, but never ever did it cross my mind in the early days, I have to buy the mobile app itself, right? By the way, this is what happens now at a large scale today in the industry. Large companies like Tencent or even Google will own app properties, right? Will own apps as properties and will have the ads powering them. But in real estate, it seems like if you're going to provide unit economics and value, why not be the landlord itself? Whereas in other industries, like let's say advertising, very risky. If you buy a website or you buy a mobile app, you have no idea how that's going to perform, and it's not your core business. The good thing about real estate is it is inherently scalable. It is something that is bread and butter. If it works here, it technically should work at a larger scale. So yeah, it's a fascinating problem to deal with.